The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is The Real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch, ESPN 975, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You missed the first hour. Pretty sportsy, which is okay. We won't be too sportsy.
Do what we can do.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll mix it up because I want to do something non-sportsy.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this, but on Halloween, a guy was dressed as Homelander.
Okay.
And they saw a fire, and the guy in his Homelander outfit rushes in and basically rescues an old man from the fire before the police get there. Now, you could probably throw in your own jokes about he probably set the fire if he's really Homelander. Yeah. But, he was talking about how the kind of person he wants to be, and, he did a great thing. I'm just curious, though, if Homelander's who you really want to be emulating if you want to be a hero?
I don't know. No, he's not. He's officially an anti-hero now.
Well, yeah, and apparently he's going to be a homicidal maniac. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Homelander. I'm team Homelander.
I'm not. I don't like Homelander.
I pretty much like, well, you know me, I like villains.
Yeah.
Villains are more interesting than heroes.
I don't like superheroes that have all the powers.
Yeah, well,
he seems too invincible, so I don't like him. I don't like superheroes that have too much power, and I don't like superheroes that have too little or too lame.
Or they lose their power.
Oh, I don't like
that. Yeah, that sucks. But
A-Train, also a terrible superhero. Like, I like that Maeve. I don't even know what her power is, but she's kind of kick-ass.
She's super strong.
Yeah, she's hot. That's her power.
I mean, that's a good power, but is she stronger than Homelander?
No.
No.
Stronger than Black Noir?
Okay.
Well,
no. I do like Black Noir. He seems pretty, he's got some interesting powers.
Except he has allergies.
Yeah, he's not invincible, so he does have something. But, yeah, I don't know. Some of those, I guess they're not, real-life superheroes, so I don't have to get as attached to them. But I told you guys about Deep. That's the stupidest superpower. But, it's a ripoff of Aquaman, who I already hate.
Black Noir is interesting. He's, plays piano. He's kind of a badass, and he never speaks.
Yeah.
Be great to have a wife like that. He said, we took the alley, and we pull up the alley. I look back. There's flames coming out of the house, and the whole upstairs was consumed. Flames were just pouring out. It was pretty gnarly. Said, I yelled as loud as I can, is anybody in there? And I heard if someone was to get hit in the sternum, kind of the sound like losing your wind, I heard a sound like that, kind of moaning. There were flames around and just inches from me. My costume was getting hot. I felt like I was melting. I couldn't breathe. The smoke was real, real heavy. And he located the guy on the second floor of the house and pulled him to safety as firefighters and paramedics pulled up. And Anthony Starr, who caught wind of the story, tweeted out, I never have been a prouder parent. And then somebody made a joke about Homelander actually saving someone in real life. And he asked him if he started the fire, said, we don't talk about that in this house. So he played along with it pretty well. But I thought that was pretty cool.
We just got sent this, and I'm always a little hesitant to buy into stories from these websites like Climbing Towels Hill, because it's a fan website.
It's a decent one though. Okay. It's kind of like crawfish boxes. I mean, they're relatively trustworthy.
Okay. Well, they tweeted out and said that the Astros are trying to work out a deal with free agent outfielder Michael Brantley, and there's mutual interest in the reunion. Basically saying that because they didn't offer him a qualifying offer that was $19 million, doesn't mean that they didn't want him. And they're, you know, it says that maybe they could end up, you know, re-signing him just for less money than he'd been making, which isn't crazy because he's going to be 34 and it's Corona time. So, but Michael Brantley, I if they can keep him, they should keep him. That's a guy that I want.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one less guy that you have to replace.
Yep.
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal reported that yesterday, that they're still talking with him because they picked it up on MLB trade rumors, and I sent it to you guys this morning.
Now, here's the thing that people will be disappointed by. If somehow, some way, they keep Michael Brantley, it basically means 0.0 chance of George Springer.
Well, what I understand, they're not going to pay him that anyway.
So. George Springer is at about a 1% chance of being back as it is. That would just go to 0.0. And I'm okay with it. I'd rather have Michael Brantley for a discount for a short-term deal than George Springer at top dollar for a long-term deal.
I agree. Like I said, it looks like the Mets are going to, and the Blue Jays are also interested, which we tend to forget this, but the Blue Jays have a bunch of money to spend too, because that ownership group is ridiculously rich. So, and they're probably at the point now where they can add a couple people like this and to that young core they've got. And so I could see him getting paid. So Barry Checker said, Lance said that Springer already sold his Houston home and was moving back to the East Coast.
Well, I heard that Brantley sold his home too.
Yeah, I would never get too caught up in the people selling their homes thing, because especially guys who just live here during the season, that's going to happen a lot. And you remember Chris Paul had his up for sale a year before he wound up getting traded. But yeah, I never put much stock into that, because inevitably, if you re-sign, guess what? You buy another place.
Yeah.
So, and Gotta Grind says, Cora coming back to the Sox. I think that was for Springer. I don't know how much money the Sox are going to be spending. I don't know if they're going to be in this.
Why do you think that?
Because they've done nothing but shed salary over the last couple of years. And it's not to go sign George Springer. It's because they're not spending money at the rate they were. And I think, you know, they're trying to get back to being a competitive team by rebuilding. They're not really looking to add big guys right now, I don't think, from everything I've read.
I mean, there's a lot of people who are like, well, why would they take George Springer when they, you know, they had Mookie Betts, they got rid of him. But, I mean, Mookie Betts was, George Springer's not going to make near the money Mookie Betts was going to command.
No, he's not near the player either, though.
That's the thing. So I don't think, just because they don't want,
Just Mookie Betts, though. I mean, they're selling off David Price just to get rid of him. I mean, they're trying to.
David Price wasn't consistently good for them.
I know, but that we're just getting rid of salary is what they're trying to do. And I don't think it was for this. I think it's to try to, you know, build around the young guys they've got and get competitive again. I think it seemed like a big shift in philosophy from them last year. And maybe it is. Maybe it's, okay, we're going to go after Francisco Lindor then, or something like that. I don't know. I haven't seen anything to indicate that, though. What I've seen is that Mets, you mentioned Phillies, I've seen Blue Jays all in on Springer. That's three teams with money right there. He'll do fine.
Yeah.
Where he winds up in, wherever he winds up. So outfield of Kyle Tucker, Michael Brantley, and Jackie Bradley Jr., you take it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd take that. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah. But if you sign Michael Brantley Jr., you're probably getting a lesser outfielder in free agency.
Yeah.
Because, Michael Brantley and Jackie Bradley Jr. are probably two of the top five free agent outfielders. So I would expect them to get one of those and probably not both. I think your third outfielder will probably be a Robbie Grossman type, who's a, you know, he's a fine player, but not a big name or a superstar. That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, well, and again, I don't know what the Astros are willing to spend.
None of us do, but we've said before.
As much as I've said, it looks like the Red Sox are shifting direction a little bit. I think the Astros are too.
I do too.
And, you know.
And especially because they're going to have on their payroll this year is going to be a very, very, very well-paid player who's going to be doing absolutely nothing for them. So that can factor into your decision-making on what kind of money you're going to spend because you're going to be paying a guy to literally not be there this year. The highest paid guy on your team is not going to be there this
year. Truck says, do you think the media would have treated Hinch coming back to the Stros with the same no F's given as they have Cora going back to the Sox?
No.
I don't know. The people here would have loved it.
No, but he's talking about like the national baseball media.
Oh, the national baseball media? No, because you're not the Red Sox. Red Sox and the Yankees are and to a lesser extent, the Dodgers are their media darlings. They love those guys. They're never going to criticize them for anything. That's just.
But I also said at the time, the Red Sox, they did things the right way. They didn't snitch on anybody. They just said, we don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, basically Alex Cora got quote unquote fired for his involvement. I think it was more of his involvement with the Astros than it was anything he did in Boston.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because in Boston, they just kept saying, we don't know what you're talking about. Do I think they cheated in Boston? Unquestionably, but they didn't snitch on each other. And that's the difference between how the Red Sox handled it and how the Astros handled it.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Tell the people about TGS.
TGS. Got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, you might be a person who would say, man, I could use a few extra bucks in my pocket every month. Well, you could, and it could be more than a few, and it's so simple. If you don't know what you're paying for your homeowner's insurance, you're not alone. I had no idea what I was paying for mine. So when I first found out about TGS, I had my wife look into it, say, hey, hon, what are we paying? Then I sent the word money, texted the word money to 232323. They replied back and said, what's your address? So I told them, boom, 15 seconds, I had a firm insurance quote on my phone. And I saved over $1,000 annually. Now, not everybody's going to get that. The average customer saving around $900, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Hell, Graham down the hall saved $2,600 a year with TGS. That could be you. What are you waiting for? It's so simple. They're going to take care of the back end, get you refunded on your old policy so you don't have to deal with it. All you got to do is send that text. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving money today with TGS Insurance.
Life's probably not right.
Probably.
That there is my life.
It is.
Call the jump life.
I
tell her jump. She say how high.
She does.
Dream more.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Happy Tuesday. Hope you guys are having a good one. Just trying to roll through a...
Roll damn tide.
Not
rolling.
All right.
Somebody said that LSU's reporting more positives than they actually had, so they don't have to play Alabama.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
I don't either.
I wouldn't want any part of that right now.
Josh Ennis came in today. He's like, I hope they cancel. This is before they actually canceled. He's like, I hope they cancel it, not postpone it. Like, take it off the schedule. Don't let it happen.
All right. Tell people about the Mac one more time, and then we'll be done with it. If you missed it, we'll be able to say, go back to 516 on the podcast.
Okay. For Tuesday Maction, my favorite under is the Kent State Bowling Green. And you got to play unders if you're trying to, you know, follow my stuff, which is miserable. But I also like the under I can't think of who the freaking Akron against Ohio game. Akron's terrible. I don't think they're going to score much. The first game is under because it's like 21-mile-an-hour winds. I think it's going to just be awful. But I like the under in both those games. And my site won't give me a clean 7 on Buffalo against Miami of Ohio. But if you can get a 7, I'd like Buffalo minus 7. Outside of that, it's a pass. So there you go.
Minus 8 on my site.
Well, there you go. It's a pass.
All right. 7-1.
Now, if you want to live bet, it's quite possible that it ends up, you know, especially if Northern Illinois comes out, or excuse me, if Miami of Ohio comes out first and scores.
Yeah.
I would live bet Buffalo.
Okay.
But by then, I'm already paying attention to other games, and, I have a hard time live betting. I have a hard time keeping up
with it. I've been doing about 2 a week. Last weekend, I didn't, I don't think. But it's usually on games where the team that I thought was clearly better and just got behind early.
Yeah.
I think the biggest one I did this year was the Cowboys when they got down 20 to nothing or whatever it was against the Falcons, and they were plus 20. I just hammered them at plus 20, which was a bigger number than I expected. I think it was 28-3 or something like this. I don't know what it was. 28 to nothing, but they were plus 20, and I thought, okay, there's no way in hell they're losing by that much. And then I did it on Tulane a couple weeks ago when they are Tulsa. Tulsa got down early against somebody, and I wound up live betting them like minus 3.5, and they won. So I just look for teams that I think are the better team that might have been favored or might have been close, and they got off to a bad start. Maybe there's a turnover. Maybe there's just a dumb play by a quarterback. And next thing you know, they're in a hole. If you still think you're looking at the better team, then it's a good time to do it. 832 says, day 2 of actually being in the car after 2 p.m., it's a bleeping miracle. One thing I've noticed, we're starting to get back to pre-COVID traffic.
Yeah, traffic's a little rougher for me coming in these days than it was. I don't mind, though. I mean, as long as there's people, you know, if people are trying to get back to normal, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's the going home that bothers me, because there's a lot of there's a lot of people who are finding a watering hole after they get off at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And trying to drive home. But we'll save that was part of my hey man bleep that. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. As you see, your boy Bruce Arians was pretty critical of Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, did Tom Brady look good to you?
No.
this is what I never understand. Like, we've got to get to a point where a coach is allowed to be critical of his player if he's not playing well. Everyone always, like, walks on eggshells. Like, you can't say anything negative about your players as a coach. You have to put it all on yourself. I don't know if I buy into that. Like, at some point, you need to put it out there, hey, this guy's got to play better for us to win. Tom Brady can't play like that and expect the Bucs to win. Now, should he be singled out?
Yes.
No, because the defense played terribly too. I mean, it was an all-around awful game. But Tom Brady was awful. And if he plays like that, the Bucs can't win.
Yeah, and I guess maybe he's just not used to his cut. Because Arians is one of those guys I like. He'll just be honest for the most part. He'll say stuff. You're not going to get we got to coach better, we got to play it better out of him very often.
I mean, how often has there been a situation where Bill Belichick had to sit at a podium and say, well, Tom Brady cost us that game. If, you know, he's got to be better than that. There weren't many situations like that. You're not getting prime Tom Brady here.
Right.
That's what I think people fail to realize. And pretending like, no, Tom played great, we've got to support him better, or I've just got to call better play. No, Tom was just awful. Sometimes that happens. It's not like disrespectful for a coach to say it.
Where are you at on Tom Brady right now?
I was low on Tom Brady coming into the year. He's exceeded my expectations greatly, but I'm still not sold that it holds up.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I am. I was sort of in the same spot with him. And, you know, now I'm sort of like, well, maybe. I don't know. 713, do we allow players to scold coaches, though? Well, apparently J.J. Watt did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – and for one thing, it's a different kind of relationship. You know, I mean, if you're putting in a game plan and your player's not executing it because he's playing like crap, I don't have a problem with you saying that. too many times coaches hide behind the, oh, we don't want to criticize our players thing. And, you know, that is a different relationship. A coach is the boss. A player is an employee. And, you know, I don't think it's the same thing. But, you know, I think Brady has been better than I expected. We'll see if it holds up too. And I think it might be time to keep an eye on those, the Saints, because this is usually the part of the season where they start to crank it up, and they sure look good in that game. I think it was as much about the Saints looking good and as it was about the, Bucks being awful too. So 713-780 ESPN, what do you guys think about this incentive program the NFL just came out with about getting draft picks for hiring minorities?
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't like that. I mean, that's a slippery slope, man. I don't mind the Rooney Rule, like forcing you to at least, and now I hate that it can be like basically, if you've got a black guy who works in your front office, you can just talk to him and, you know, discuss it with him. And a lot of the times these guys get they know the only reason they're being brought in is because they're black.
Right.
But draft picks for hiring minorities, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And I'm
the incentive in hiring a black coach or a black GM should be, they're a really good coach, and you're going to be rewarded with their really good coaching or general managing. That should be the incentive.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if players want to go play for him for that reason, that's great. That's a bonus.
Eric Bieniemy's purple, and he could be purple. I would still want him to coach the Texans. I don't care if he's black, red, orange, yellow, green, or pink. He could be any color he wants. I want him to coach the Texans.
What it's going to do is it's going to incentivize the teams that are already tanking. So we know Adam Gase is going to be gone from the Jets. Say Trevor Lawrence says, you know what, I'm sticking around a year. They hire a black head coach, get that extra draft pick, then fire him the next year when he goes 2-14.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the details. Don't you have to keep him around for a certain amount of time?
I don't know.
I mean, that was part of the proposal. I never actually saw the story because I think it's dumb and I don't really.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm not for it, so I don't know the details of it. Just on principle, though, I'm against it. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So, yeah, sorry I don't have real insight on that because I just think it's kind of dumb. But, you know, that's I still think people should get jobs based on merit. Now, a lot of them don't. How does Adam Gase get that job? Let's be brutally honest here. He sucked in Miami. How does he get that job? And maybe Eric Bieniemy didn't want a job like that. Maybe he's waiting for the right gig, and maybe he can't wait to coach Deshaun Watson, so that's what he's holding out for. But, you know, I agree that there needs to be better balance, and some of these cats that keep getting opportunities don't really deserve them. But I don't think that's the way to do it. But that's just me.
Yep.
I do like the Rooney Rule. I do think sometimes it's kind of sucks because there's always like one guy who winds up being the guy who gets all the interviews and nobody has any real intention of hiring. But I do think the spirit of it is, like, if you have to interview a guy, sometimes somebody comes in and impresses you, and it makes you rethink what you're going to hire. And if it doesn't, then maybe, you know, the next guy calls and says, hey, we know you interviewed that guy. We have to interview a minority. What do you think of him? Say, you know what? He might make a pretty good coach. And so maybe somebody gets a job that way. I don't know how often that happens, but, you know, it at least I think it can happen. And that, to me, is a positive.
Yep. You know what else is a positive, Fred?
Hooping it up.
Hooping it up. That's right, baby. Pro Dunk Hoops at ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you go to get the best basketball goals in the entire wide world. And they're manufactured exclusively by Hoop Sporting Equipment. And they're the best goals you're going to find. I've got one out in front of my house, and I was pretty hesitant to go with it. I didn't know if I wanted a goal in front of the house because I was worried about curb appeal and things like that. Didn't have to worry about that. This thing looks like a professional basketball hoop in my driveway. We're not talking about like a leaning pole. In fact, the steel is 75% thicker than the best brands in the big box stores. They've got a tempered glass backboard so strong, if it ever breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. And a 30-year maintenance-free rust armor finish. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version called the Bear, if that's what you're into. And, of course, they're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet. So any age can play, any age can make baskets, and any age can have fun. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
No one will move on now. No one will concede. All the long and lonely nights, all the fear.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the king. The king of kings. Your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. And it's a clarification. The team that develops the minority coach gets the draft picks. And A.J. brought up a great point. If you're the Chargers and you want to hire Eric Bieniemy, do you really want the Chiefs to get two draft picks because of it?
No. Well, it's almost like pushing people away from it. Yeah, I don't like that rule.
I'm against that. But let's see what Jerome Solomon thinks. The star of stage and screen and print and everything. What's up, Jerome?
What's up, gentlemen?
You know, sports and stuff. What's up with you?
Same old, exactly.
You living the dream off of not even a moral victory Monday, a victory Monday.
What did I win Monday?
Maybe you didn't see the Texans won their football match.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank God for Jacksonville.
They're
huh?
back in the division championship race.
Hey,
a loss
listen,
would have nearly eliminated them, but now they've got a chance.
You can't win 9 in a row until you win 1 in a row.
Damn right.
That's simple
the
rule.
Spirit.
Okay, Jerome Solomon has just predicted the Texans win 9 in a row.
That's right.
I predicted they can't win 9 in a row without winning 1 in a row. sticking to it.
I mean, did you see anything, you know, that stood out to you as like, oh, this is actually a positive? I mean, I liked, and I hate that, you know, I'm sorry, David Johnson, you got hurt, but I like that we got to see, you know, some Duke Johnson. I like that we got to see a couple guys that we wouldn't have got to see otherwise. And to me, this Texans team should be figuring out what they've got behind the starters, behind these guys that they're not going to want around for the long term.
Well, Duke Johnson isn't one of those guys you're trying to figure out.
They
should have figured that out before. Yeah, and they don't have nothing behind some of those guys. So it's not one of those situations where let the young guys play to see what you have, because either they have something or they don't have it. You know what I mean? I don't think they're not playing the best players out of some loyalty to veterans or anything. I just think they're not as talented and not playing as good. And it's a weird year. And I do think everything is graded on a different kind of curve. I know every team is dealing with it, but it really is. I mean, I think we're not giving enough of a factor into how different football is right now. And clearly the Texans weren't a team built to be able to handle the change in situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks like the Steelers were able to handle it better. Obviously the Chiefs have been able to handle it. So different teams are handling it a different way. I mean, this sounds silly, but you guys know how teams work. I mean, they're not even together, you know, like there's not one locker room anymore. There's three or four of them. So players are separated and you're not as close to your teammates as you usually are. And yeah, does that make you win or lose games? It can. And some teams can handle it. And clearly this is one of those teams that couldn't. And when you're separated like that and you don't like your head coach, you turn into a 2-6, whatever they are, team. pretty easily, you know?
Yeah, we were talking about this minority hiring rule that passed today where, okay, so basically what happens is if you develop a minority that goes on to be a head coach or a general manager, then you get draft picks, like 2 third-round compensatory picks. Your opinion on this, sir?
You applaud I won't even applaud the thought. You applaud the feeling that they want to do something. You don't applaud the methodology here. That's it's ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't solve the problem for one. It certainly is one of those deals with what's that old phrase about the unintended consequences, you know, to where I think that down the road they'll come back and go, well, that didn't work.
Right.
And there is a problem. That's the thing that a lot of people want to act like there isn't a problem. The biggest sign that there is a problem is that the league is willing to do something this stupid to try to fix it. I mean, because usually it would be the league who would be saying, oh, there's no problem, and everybody else is saying there is. No, they recognize that there's a problem. They just have no idea how to fix it, and I don't think this fixes it at all. I mean, it puts people in awkward situations like the one you described of you want to hire this guy and give the Chiefs 2 third-round picks, like the Chiefs need extra third-round picks, you know? And who gets credit for developing a guy? What if the Texans had just dominated on defense this year and somebody hired Anthony Weaver? The Texans get full credit for that? You know, what about the team he was with a couple years before that? And, you know, I mean, this is not the way to legislate racism. You know what I mean? Like that's not how you fix racism among the owners in the NFL. I don't know how you do it. So I'm not acting like, oh, well, here's the solution. But I'm much more into, I'd rather punish people than reward them. Rewarding them for doing the right thing or the smart thing will lead them to doing dumb things to try to get the reward. Punishing them will keep them most likely from just ignoring it, you know? And that's the thing. I mean, if you've got a team in 2020 and you've never had a minority, you know, coordinator or head coach or general manager, it's because you don't want one, you know? But forcing people to take one or rewarding them if some guy worked for the team before he got a job, I don't like that at all.
What if you develop your own guy and promote him? Like, let's say at the end of the season, they say, you know what? I know his defense really sucks, but Anthony Weaver's our guy.
Well, then what do you mean, what if? The Texans would be idiots not to hire Anthony Weaver as a head coach. You get, do they get?
Can't get the first pick.
Do these get rejected if you fire him in the middle of his first season or something?
Does it get nullified?
Revoked?
Right, yeah. Can you revoke these things? Like, if they can't be revoked, I'm hiring Anthony Weaver in a heartbeat. One, I'm not going to have to pay full rate. He already knows the team. He's not a terrible coach. But it doesn't matter. I get a couple of third-round picks. If I hire him, and I can fire him next January or September, hell.
But you know, like, everybody raves about this guy. His defense sucks. You know who that reminds me of? Mike Vrabel. Everybody raved about him. His defense was awful, and guess what? It worked out.
There's a legitimate understanding of some people are good head coaches and not good. Necessarily good coordinators, or you can be a good coordinator and be with the wrong group. I mean, say what you want about Cliff Kingsbury, and he's my boy. He's way better than anybody thought he would be doing what he's doing right now, right?
Yeah.
Than anybody thought. And I was one of those, I'm like, hey, look, no, I know Cliff can coach, but I wouldn't have hired him, you know? And so are you going to punish a team for hiring the right guy in the right situation, or guys can get lucky in situation with players? And that's the challenge with this is there is no formula. There have been coaches who were hired who seemingly had no business getting hired who did great. There have been other coaches who are like, oh, this guy deserves the job and did horribly. There's just no way to know. And it's the same way on the college level. I know the NCAA guys met today to talk about a potential Rooney Rule on the college level. And there's just no way to know. I mean, Charlie Strong should have been good at Texas. Tom Herman should have been good at Texas.
Yeah.
Didn't matter whether one was white or black, neither one of them as good as they should have been or as good as you thought they would have been coming in. And did race have anything to do with it? No. They're not as good as you thought. And there's just no way to deal with that. But when you have so many schools that won't hire black coaches because they're afraid that if it goes wrong, they get it, it's harder on them. That's the problem. How to fix it, I have no idea.
Yeah, it really is something that needs to be addressed, but like I said, I don't think this is the way to do it. So
But we've made so much progress on this. Nowhere near where we ought to be, trust me. But we've made so much progress on this that a lot of times we don't even have the discussion about race. Think about this. Every head coach of the professional teams in Houston, you know, not the Dynamo, you know what I mean, the Big Three, is black.
That's right true.
Now. Yeah.
The Rockets have a black general manager right now. You know, I mean, it's and nobody's even – you guys haven't brought that up as a discussion topic.
And the Texans have had a black general manager.
And it didn't matter. It was whether the person was good or not good at their job. But if we'd gotten to this point and none of them had been black and none of them had been hired as black, we'd be like, well, why is that? How is that? How is that possible? I mean, Fred, you hired me as a columnist of the Chronicle. The paper's been around 120 years. You hired me 10 years ago as a columnist. I'm the first black guy columnist. Am I that good? No.
Jerome.
It was just 100 years of BS.
It was 16 years ago now. It wasn't just 10. We've gotten old, man. But
your math is not good. You can't count. Stop the count.
Dude, I've been in radio for 12 years.
Stop the count. But the thing is, race mattered for the first 100 years of the paper, obviously, because they didn't hire a black guy. You know, so it mattered. It didn't matter when you hired me. But if I failed, it would be, man, black dude didn't do well. No, Jerome didn't do well. You know? But there's no way to fix it.
Same thing with women. You know, I mean, for hiring a woman, it's like, oh, well, you hired a woman and she failed. You know, that's people let's just say there was a lot of people who would have preferred somebody else. And you know what? They'd have been wrong. So there.
And I was hired at the same time with a white dude who failed.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. And man, he's nuts right now, boy. He's gone way, way weirdo Trumper on us.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. Oh, you don't follow him on Twitter?
If I do, I don't pay any attention. You know what? I pay attention to about 10 of the people I follow. I mean, I pay attention to you and Jerry Bowe and AJ and people like that I talk to a lot. But most of the time, I've gotten to where I've had to ignore everybody because they've all gotten too political.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, like there's a problem. There's always been a problem. It's way less of a problem now than there's ever been. And that's a weird thing. It's like we have much less of a problem now than we ever had. But it seems like people are trying harder to fix the problem. And you would think through all of these years and all of this time that the people in charge of these would come up with better solutions. You know, like we think about it a little bit. But if we were in charge of the NFL, we'd come up with a solution. It wouldn't be this stupid thing here. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, but they're not going to put us in charge, Jerome. We've talked about it. We've tried.
They won't. They just won't. They won't let us, man. Yeah. They that's the problem. They discriminate against us. They discriminate against people who could figure out things. They'd much rather have people who can't figure things out.
They don't like smarts.
They don't like smarts.
Jerome, before we let you go, did you think that Will Fuller feeling some kind of way about being shopped? Like, do you think that the Texans are in any way doing him wrong by listening to offers? Or is that just insane?
No, they're not wrong for listening to offers. I think they would have been wrong for trading him for less than deluxe nuts. And I don't. It's personal to him.
Why?
This is the only place he's ever played. This is the only place he ever played. Why? It would be personal to you if Gal was looking to let you go and thinking about it and talking about it and openly discussing it. It's personal to him, so I don't blame him for feeling some kind of way.
They would have been sending him to a contending team. With it.
What's that?
They would have been sending him to a contending team.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it matters.
Dude, it would matter.
You can't say,
wait a minute,
is show up to work every day. You've missed 20-something games. You don't just show up to work. That's a big problem is you don't show up to work often enough.
Okay, listen, all that is fine. Like I said, I don't have a problem with the team doing anything that the team did, but I don't have a problem with him saying feeling hurt. He's like, man, I'm trying my best. I'm here. I want to be here. I'm doing what I can. What he's supposed to say? Look, I know I suck, man. Just go ahead and trade me. No, then you'd be dogging him for saying that. Come on,
stop. Don't be a crybaby. That's all I'm saying.
That's not a crybaby to not want to change jobs and move to another city. That's not a crybaby.
Well, he's going to do it at the end of the season anyway.
But he gets to make the choice. He gets to decide where he wants to go if he's going to go somewhere else. That's on him. You would rather somebody else make the choice for you? You would.
That's part of the contract though.
That doesn't mean you're going to be jumping up and down going, "Hey man, that's where it is. I'm good. Well, let's go for it." No, you're going to be "Man, listen.
Well, to me all it does is reinforce.
I don't like y'all talking about trying to trade me. And I don't have a problem with him saying that at all, you know. And if they would have traded him, he's supposed to shut his mouth and go play where he's got.
If he's not trying to go to a winning team, then I don't want that dude on my team anyway.
What do you mean not trying to? He didn't know where they were going to trade him. He didn't know.
You think the Jags
were going to
give up deluxe nuts for a receiver? No. It would have been a contending team.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's why there's buyers and sellers. The buyers are the good teams.
But he's not a slave. So you're not being bought and sold. No,
a slave.
I'm just saying.
We're talking about,
I'm just saying. He's
not getting traded. We're now comparing to slavery.
What you're the ones that are buyers and sellers. So he's being bought and sold. And I'm saying all I said was I don't have a problem with the team doing whatever they want to do, what was ever best for them. But I don't have a problem with him going like, man, it felt kind of weird to not be wanted. Just like if you walked in tomorrow and David Gow said, hey, over the next 3 days, we're going to decide whether or not we're going to fire you. You're going to feel some kind of way.
You know why? Because that would be my salary going away. His money's not going to go anywhere. you're acting like the Texans were going to fire
AJ?
Him. The Texans weren't talking about cutting him.
Yeah, they pretty much were. Yeah, they're going to fire him, and he had another job. He would have another job waiting. But if Gal could trade you,
if Gal said, "Hey AJ, you're going to work at WEEI in Boston,"
W freeze your ass off in Green Bay. You would be like, "Hey man, that's good. That's what my contract says. Let's do it." Or you'd be like, "Really, y'all trying to trade me to Green Bay?
If
they're winning in Green Bay,
if they're pulling 8 shares, and I don't mind."
Okay,
that.
Well, cool. Well, that's fine, and that would be like, I'll be like, "Way to go, AJ. I'm proud of you." But if AJ said, "Man, I can't believe all the good work I've done here at ESPN 97.5, and they talk about sending me to Green Bay. I don't want to raise my kids in Bay.
I would say,
I feel you, AJ. I understand.
I keep acting like Will Fuller's done so much that the Texans.
I didn't say
anything.
He did anything.
I've been doing my best work. Giving my best here for all these years.
He has given his best. It ain't all that particularly good, but it's his best. I mean, I'm saying I don't blame him for feeling that he's okay here and he wants to be here. I don't know his story. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it isn't. People make it seem like it's so easy for athletes to just accept being shipped across the country. No, I don't blame them if they don't want to. I don't want to go anywhere. And I don't want nobody to ship me off. I don't care what my contract says. You know,
I'm trying to get shipped off.
I'd rather stay here.
We've got a deal in place with WFAN. I've been
and I'm
going to
get shipped off if we don't go to break. So that's a good point. All right, Jerome.
You hang in there.
All right, we
don't you let God tell you that you're not showing up every day.
We'll talk to you next week if we can't trade you out for John McClain. We'll have you back on again next week.
Later, fella. And I'm gonna feel some kind of way.
Don't feel bad, Jerome.
Not surprised Will Fuller had his feelings hurt. Dude, everything else gets hurt.
Jerome will be over there with Arkansas milk next week. Just like that.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, brother, let me tell you something. You mind if I talk? You mind if I call you brother?
This is the Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. As a locally based company, Gow Media believes in the concept of supporting local businesses, jobs, and our community. So we're asking you, our listeners, to hashtag keep it local. When you're shopping, eating out, taking out, or buying services, consider a local business. And share your great experiences with hashtag Keep It Local. Listen for sponsors that support ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Then hashtag Keep It Local with them. Learn more at ESPN975.com/Keep It Local. Also, Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis tonight. Guests include Mexico national team defender Hector Moreno and Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos. We'll take phone calls on air. Ramos or Ramos? I always thought it was Ramos.
Ramos.
Okay, so I had it right the first time. Then I started questioning myself, which I often do. But yeah, he'll be on tonight, and Glenn does a great job. Victor, who helps him with the show, is always keeping me up to date on what they're doing so that I can pass it on to you guys. And one of these days when Glenn gets out of his house again, we'll have Glenn on happy hour.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right. You know, I don't think we have time for a gym of the day.
So, what?
Well, we can do it in 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
But very mixed response to your guys' exchange.
There are people who agree with Jerome?
Yeah, there are people who...
That it's akin to slavery?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying there are people who agree with him.
It's all right. Those people are wrong.
And we were talking earlier about like Anthony Lynn. Isn't it time that, I mean, so that's he's got to go, right?
I mean, it's getting there, certainly.
And somebody on the text line said he's the O'Brien of the Chargers, ridiculous if any in-game adjustments. Talent there, but built to lose, exactly like the Texans Rockets. I mean, kind of is. I mean, at some point, you lose that many close games, it's on coaching. It really is.
Yeah.
And I think teams need to realize that. And it's one thing when it was, okay, you could blame it on Phillip Rivers and his late-game interceptions last year. Well, that's not there anymore. And you're getting pretty damn good quarterback play. So what is it? Comes down to one thing.
Yeah.
That team shouldn't be that bad. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You know what? Let's grab a call. Deacon. Go, Deacon.
Sports, fellas.
Sports.
Listen, I just want to make two quick but very different points. One on Will Fuller. I think maybe the thing about his feelings hurt is, you know, just it being out there so openly being shopped. You know, teams used to keep that stuff behind closed doors, and, like, they denied anybody was on the block until the deal was finalized. So I think that might just have something to do with it, that it's just so open now. But the second point, man, I just want to say that segment is the exact reason we can't have a serious conversation about race in this country, because Jerome made all those great points about when you hired him, Fred, at the Chronicle, and I was really surprised to hear even 16 years ago in a city as diverse as Houston that it was an issue to hire a black guy at the paper. So, like, I'm listening to all these points, and I'm like, man, hearing it from a different perspective. And then he goes and blows his whole point out of the water when he says something like, AJ using the term buyers and sellers. Man, I'm 40 years old. I've been listening to sports talk since I was 10, okay? The term buyers and sellers has always been used for teams that were active at the, you know, search shopping at the deadline for help, and teams that were trying to dump talent and get something in return. I just think, man, that is such a disrespectful comparison to slavery itself. Imagine if we had people alive today that had lived in slavery. What would they feel like if somebody compared a player in a professional sports league to slavery, man? It just, it's disgusting. And I just, I'm so tired of it, man. So that's all I want to say, man. Great show again, guys, and I'll catch you around the corner.
All right, man.
Yeah, well, to his first point, it was just almost criminal that there'd never been a black columnist at a newspaper that was over 100 years old. But there's a reason when you look back on it. At one time, we only had one. He was there for 30 years. And then there just wasn't a lot of movement in that job. Those jobs were very hard to get back then. And so it wasn't easy. We had to actually create an extra one is what we had to do. And it worked out great. But, newspapers were basically old cigar-chomping white guys for the most part. I mean, that's, you know, those movies you see in the 60s and 70s, that's what they were. And, you know, yeah, we did our best to transition it, both in terms of becoming more diverse and having more diverse voices. And fortunately, people, there were people there who bought into that in management and let us do those things. And some of them worked out, some of them didn't. But in the end, I'd say Jerome was a win. And as far as the other stuff, I'm staying out of that. That was, yeah. I'm going to, you know what, I'll ask Lawyer Dave. El Tigre Tejano. What's going on, buddy?
Well, nothing much. Let me start off by saying to AJ and all the other veterans that are listening to the show, thank you all for your service to our country. There's no higher call than doing what you all did. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
Well, I think a lot of people are thanking you for what you do for them when they get in an accident, because all you do is win their cases.
You know what, Fred? That's right. It's a pleasure serving the Blitzers, because they send me the nicest emails, and when they're on the phone, they're so to the point, and they're not trying to pull any nonsense. They've got legitimate needs, and we send them to legitimate doctors for the injuries they get. That's for sure.
Yeah, and if there's no money out of pocket, right? If they can't afford to go to a doctor and they're hurt, you guys are going to help them out.
Yeah, that's one of the main benefits we offer. When someone's hurt and they don't have a doctor or they don't have money to pay for one, we'll get them transportation to a doctor in their area, in their specialty, with no money out of their pocket.
Yeah, and there's no charge for consultation. So if they've got any legal question, they can call and ask you. And if it's something you do, then great. And if it's not something you do, and they can, they can still need a lawyer, you're going to put them in the right direction.
That's right, Fred. I probably take about 4 or 5 phone calls a day, and then emails quite often with folks. I'm glad. That's kind of the funnest part of my job is, thinking about, what's this guy's problem? How can I help him? If I can't, who do I send him to? That's one of the pleasures of being a lawyer, I would have to say.
Well, tell them how they can get in touch with you and have that conversation.
Well, they can call me at 713-626-8900 or lawyerdave.com. That's where I get most of my emails. Occasionally, I get a tweet at lawyerdavelaw. It's my Twitter account. And through my buddy Fred, quite regularly.
Yeah, a couple of people this weekend asked for your number, and I just I'm always happy to pass it on. So if you guys can't remember all that, you can always hit me up on Twitter. All right, if they need a lawyer, what do they do?
They had better dial Dave.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.